football players have lots of cash. They spend it on cars and going out on the lash. They co-write a book about their interesting lives, even though they are only 25.
He shoots, he scores, scoring the goals.
Dribble the ball and kick the ball to score a goal.
He shoots, the ball, he scores, scoring the goals.
Yes, hello everybody. Welcome along to the League Podcast in association with the 72.co.uk. All our football podcasts are available at williamhill.com/podcast as well. Sam Ashu is with us, one of the men behind the 72.co.uk to look at League One first of all. Sam, you well?
Yeah, good, thank you, Lou. We got quite close last week on the old League One podcast, didn't we? I think we were Sheffield United draw slash win away from having a clean sweep.
Yeah, they obviously had a bit of a, it was a hell of a game, but they went relatively close, didn't
they?
I thought
they
might come and pull it back round.
Somehow they seem to do it, don't they, when it all looks lost, and they seem to get these late goals, and that's something that we'll mention later on in the podcast for sure. But it was good to see a few things land anyway.
Yeah, always nice. The Naps last week, I think you went for drawing about Newport.
Ended one up of the things that didn't land.
Yeah, I went for Huddersfield to score two or more goals, didn't land either. And Pete, I'm just trying to remember what he went for. I think he went for Charlton to win by a goal, so none of the three landed, so we all lose our tenors. Pete, who normally does our Championship podcast, no Championship this weekend, of course, because of the internationals. Pete moves down to £28.42. You're now on £6 in profit, and
just
I'm
touching above zero there, right?
And I'm back down to minus £50.50. Let's get on with this week, shall we? We've got four games in League One to have a look at this week. We'll finish off with the TV game between Barnsley and Bradford. But let's start with Colchester versus Fleetwood Town, first of all. Colchester are priced up at 11-8. Fleetwood are 21-10. And the draw is priced up at 11-5. Fleetwood in 10th and Colchester in the bottom four at the moment in League One. The form of late, well, neither team been doing particularly well. Colchester did beat Crewe away from home. That's nothing to really write home about, unfortunately, and that's their only win in the last five. Also won away at Leyton Orient, but yet to chalk up a home win this season. As for Fleetwood, well, they won their last home game against Port Vale. Did have a good start to the season away from home, didn't they, Sam? They won at Notts County. They won at Scunthorpe. Since then, they haven't scored a goal away from home and have lost by a single goal to Oldham, to Crawley and to Peterborough. So scoring goals has proven a bit of a problem on the road for Fleetwood.
Yeah, I think it's been certainly since the beginning of September, it's been a bit of a reality check for Fleetwood. Started the season very well, of course. We were even top of League One at one stage, but the squad just, you know, you compare this squad to a lot of other squads in League One, and really it was only a matter of time before they sort of tailed off. And look, they're still doing okay. But of course, you mentioned those three 1-0 losses in a row. And that's not good, because to not score in any of those games is a bit of a problem. And yes, Colchester yet to chalk up a home win, but actually, if you go back to that match that they played against Sheffield United, and you go back to around about the 82nd minute when Colchester are winning 2-0, and you say, look, Colchester see that result out, they win 2-0 or they win 2-1, something like that. Of course, they went on to lose 3-2 with those sort of last gasp 5-minute goals from Sheffield United. Colchester go on to win that game, and their run of late, look, all of a sudden looks a little different. They win that, they then draw, say they do, they then draw to Bradford City, they then go and beat Crewe 3-0, and then they give it a very good go at Preston North End. Of course, Preston, they went 1-0 up against Preston, Preston then equalised, then took the lead, and then Colchester equalised. So by half-time, that game was well in the balance, and of course, Preston saw it out in the end. So there are a lot of good signs, I think, for Colchester of late. Of course, having a player like Freddie Sears and George Moncur as well, they've got two former West Ham boys there who are very good players at this level, and the performances have been much better than what they were in both August and September. So I've got a feeling here, Lee, I really do, that Saturday is going to be the day that they notch up their first home win of the season. And I think at 11-8, they're a decent price. Because you've got to remember, they're playing against a team who have lost three on the bounce away from home. So, yeah, I just feel that this is a chance here to get a good bit of home value, and it's actually one of the best home prices for value in League One so far. It is a tough game to predict. Take that on board, and look, it's not like we're flooded with sort of opportunities to put up Colchester here, but we're looking at the bigger picture. Well, I'm looking at the bigger picture, certainly, and saying that there are a couple of results away. Sheffield United, of course, in being the main one, from, you know, being on a very good run. So, yeah, I like them here at 11-8. And, I just wonder about Fleetwood. I think they're going to be a mid-table side this season. I don't think they've done enough in the games that they have lost to prove that they are coming close to an away win, really. So, yeah, Colchester at 11-8 gets my vote in this one.
Yeah, fair enough. It's an attractive price. Gillingham, Scunthorpe is where we'll look next. 6-5, Gillingham. 23-10, the draw, and Scunthorpe are priced up at 23-10 as well. Let's take a look at Gillingham's form. First of all, they're 18th with 12 points from their 11 games. Got through on penalties against Colchester in the JPT on Tuesday night. So a long old night for them. The previous matches at home, well, they've been doing pretty well, actually. The only loss they've had was in the League Cup, and that was to Newcastle United, who beat them 1-0. It was an own goal as well. Beating Crewe, beating Peterborough, drawn with Walsall and Swindon. Scunthorpe United, of course, done away with the manager in the meantime. Their form, they're in the second bottom of the table, just above Crewe, 3 points above them, but the goal difference is pretty poor, -14. Lost the last four on the spin. Knox County beat him in the JPT, the latest of those. It's not been great all season, to be fair. They had back-to-back wins at the end of August, start of September, one in the league, one in the cup, and I think that they beat Blackburn in the League Cup, didn't they? Other than that, and the Coventry win, they've lost a lot of games, Sam, already, haven't they?
Yeah, but it's one of those where Russ Wilcox has, of course, become the victim of his own success. Yeah. How many times at the moment do we see a manager get a side promoted and then struggle, you know, in the next season in the above division, and then get the sack? It's sometimes you just wonder, would the manager have been better off sort of consolidating in mid-table last season, yeah, and then going again this season in the below league? He might still be in a job, but either way, Russ Wilcox is out of a job. And I mean, it's a tricky one, this one, because we're Friday morning here, and it looks like Scunthorpe are close to naming a manager, but it looks also like that manager now, even if he is named before tomorrow, is not going to have a chance to do any form of training or anything, yeah, like that with his team. So on that basis, because sometimes you do have to take that into account, because a manager can come in, he can have a couple of training sessions, or even just the one training session, and literally it can change within an instant a team's performance, and that hasn't happened this time. And this is partly why I lean towards Gillingham here. It's been an indifferent start to them for the season, no doubt about that, but their home record is much, much better than their away record. And actually, the start of this season is scarily similar to the start of the season they had in 2009-10, when they were relegated from League One, of which in that season, no side in the top nine actually won at Priestfield all season. So they went unbeaten in a year that they got relegated at home. So hopefully for Gillingham fans, that won't happen again in terms of the relegation. I don't think it will, because I think they've got goals in them, and that's, of course, important. Danny Kedwell, I think, will still be injured. But Cody McDonald stepped up to the plate of late, and he scored a couple of goals. And he's done quite well. So they've got a player that they can rely on there, even without their sort of main man, Kedwell. So, look, the both teams to score sort of jumps out at me here, particularly from the Scunthorpe end. Both teams to score would have landed in the last six Scunthorpe matches, five of which Scunny have lost, and four of which have been 2-1. So if you are looking for a correct score, you might want to look towards the 2-1, but certainly the both teams to score. And, you know, Scunny have got goals in them, even if they haven't necessarily produced, the likes of Paddy Madden, Billy Key, who signed from Burton Albion, and Rory Fallon, who scored a couple lately as well. So they've always got a chance of getting on the score sheet. But they have conceded 25 goals so far, second worst defensive record in the division behind Crewe. And this is why Gillingham and both teams to score at 10-3 jumps out at me, Lee. It does, because I do fancy Gillingham here. I think that Scunthorpe without a manager, I don't think it's not one of those where you say, oh, they were going on a terrible, terrible, terrible run. They finally got rid of that horrible manager and things are going to change for them. They've been on a bad run. They got rid of their manager. I don't think anything's going to change until they bring a new man in. So Gillingham, both teams to score at 10-3 is a price I like.
Very good. Let's have a look at a team we were mentioning earlier on, Sheffield United. They're at home to Leighton Orient. Two players out suspended. Higdon after that tackle last week in the Chesterfield game, and McEvely banned as well. Sheffield United in 11th position with 16 points on the board. Leighton Orient just hovering above the drop zone with just 10 points from their 10 games so far. Did win at Dagenham in the JPT in midweek. Also won away at Scunthorpe, and the one away at Peterborough in the JPT as well. Add to that a League Cup win at Aston Villa, away from home again, an away win at Oldham, and the penalty shootout win over Plymouth, again away from home. And the more attentive people out there, Sam, will know what I'm getting at here. The best results have definitely come away from home. At home, they've just been in all sorts of bother. Lost 4 on the spin at home, including a defeat to Sheffield United in the League Cup. It seems like they're happier to be away. Sheffield United, strong at home, 1-4 on the bounce now.
Yeah, no, you're completely right. And I still, regardless of that sort of recent Leighton Orient run, I do think the price of 13-10
for
Sheffield United is a nice little price. I think the prices have been good for Sheffield United lately. They were very good in the JPT the other day. I think they were 4-6 to beat Hartlepool. Which was an excellent price, and it's good again today. But there's a different price that's shouting out to me. I'll mention to you in a minute. And yeah, it's Sheffield United at home as well. That, like you said, the 2-1, the 1-0 win against Crawley, 1-0 Rochdale, 2-1 against Gillingham. Okay, the Rochdale and the Gillingham goals were late goals, but they don't seem to make it quite as hard for themselves as they do away from home. United seem to be a bit more calmer, a bit more better in possession at home. And yeah, it's one of those where you say, I think the blades are beginning to come good now. We mentioned this in the podcast last week as well. And I wonder about Leighton Orient. I think it's very important for them to actually get a bit of consistency in their play. Ever since Russell Slade left, even I guess when Russell Slade was managing this season, it's not really happened for them. And whilst I do like the price of 13-10 for United, what jumps out at me is something, as a price that I actually put up last week in the MK Dons match, and it was MK Dons to score more goals in the second half than what they would in the first half. Now, this is completely irrelevant of the other team. It's just how many the team will score themselves. Will they score more in the first half, or will they score more in the second half, or will it be a draw? I'm going for Sheffield United to score more goals in the second half. Reason being, the last 10 goals that Sheffield United have scored in League One have all been in the second half. That is an unbelievable amount of goals, goal second half percentage, if you like. To have not scored one goal in the first half in all of those in that run, I think is just, I think it's unbelievable, really. And that price is 8-5. 8-5, Lee, for nice. Them to score more goals in the second half. I mean, you can go and look at Sheffield United's results yourself and look at the goal times. They are, most of them are so late in the day. And that's something else you might want to bear in mind if you're looking at goal times. But certainly for me, 8-5 for United to score more goals in the second half than what they would in the first half is a heck of a price. You can also go for the second half for United to score the first goal at 21-10. If I explain that right, you might want to clarify that for me.
No, the market you mean is which half will their first goal be scored in?
There you go.
Yeah, that's it. Yeah,
21-10 for that one, which I also think is a decent price. But for me, I lean more to the 8-5 price of Sheffield United to score more goals in the second half, because you never know, do you, playing at home. There's always a chance the home team are going to score in the first half, regardless of the fact that the last 10 goals have been away from home. So two prices that stick out to me, but particularly the first one that I mentioned.
Yeah, those all those markets can get a bit confusing when you if you go into the actual game, so Sheffield United, Leighton Orient, or whatever game you're looking at, and then click goals, the tab, there's a series of seven tabs there. Click goals, and then just scroll down, and you'll find at the time of first goal, etc., etc. And then also you can click on the highest scoring halves. Right at the bottom of that section, and there's also goal time, and that gives you markets. When will the time of the first goal be? First to 15th minute, etc., etc. So it's best to have a quick look around. One other little tip, actually, for anyone who's using the William Hill website for the first time, I didn't know about this. You'll see one of those tabs says My Markets. Well, if you tend to only really play over 2.5 goals in a match, you can just use the little plus button when you see the blue bar. If you click plus, that'll put it into that My Markets tab, and every game that you open up, if you click My Markets, it'll just have the over 2.5 goals in there. It's a nice little thing to save you scrolling through every single market on the match. But revolving around Sheffield United scoring goals in the second half, basically, is what you're looking at there. I like it. The stat, as we saw last week, the stats really tend to back that up. Final game that we'll look at in League One is the TV match. This one is being played on Sunday at 3 o'clock. It's a Yorkshire derby. It's Barnsley versus Bradford. Bradford seventh, equal on points with Chesterfield, who are in the top six, and just a goal worse off in the goal difference column. Barnsley down in 17th with 12 points from their 10 games. The majority of those points came right at the start of the season. They started off with a loss to Crawley, but then beat Crewe, drew with Coventry, beat Gillingham healthily, drew with Yeovil, and then they had this real bad spell where they lost three of the four. But back on track, beating Rochdale. As for Bradford, well, they've been going along quite nicely. If you look at the League One form alone, three defeats, and the rest have been wins, apart from that solitary 0-0 at Walsall. Their away form's good as well, Sam, isn't it, for Bradford? 0-0 at Colchester, the goalless draw at Walsall, as I mentioned, and three wins at Crawley, Rochdale and Milton Keynes. So not doing bad on the road at all, the Bantams.
Well, it's the away form of Bradford which makes this game such a tough one to predict, because I'm sure a lot of people will look at this and they'll say, well, I fancy a Barnsley home win here, because Bradford are going okay in the league. They're seventh. But still, you just leans towards a Barnsley home win. But actually, Bradford the main positivities of this season have come out of their away form. So, look, I do like the headline offer here. Conor Hourihan to score any time and Barnsley to win 5-1. And the reason I like that, I have mentioned Conor Hourihan before. He's this goal-scoring midfielder who scored 6 goals for them this season. He's by far and away Barnsley's top goal scorer. He was 9-2 any time a few weeks ago, and he's come down to 21-10. So the traders are beginning to sniff him out, if you like. He's been rumbled, and I knew he would at some stage, and I think that price is only going to get shorter.
To be fair, you got in there before it got rumbled, so that's
I'm glad I did, because I knew the time would come at some stage, and I guess that time is now. And I do like the headline offer, because it's one of those where you think, if Barnsley win, who would you fancy to score? Well, for me, I fancy Conor Hourihan to score, so 5-1 is a decent price. But actually, no, I mean, it's not what I'm going to necessarily put up, if you like. As I said, it's very hard to go against Bradford with their recent results. That 2-0 win against Rochdale is, for me, and the 2-1 win against MK Dons, but Rochdale are going very, very well at the moment, particularly at home, and to go there and win sort of fairly comprehensively, I think, was an excellent result. And then to snatch the 2-1 to follow that up, the MK Dons, great result as well. So They're used to winning against teams that they perhaps shouldn't be winning against, with the start that Rochdale have had, and of course we know about MK Dons. Now, a market that I like, that you know that I like, Lee, when we've got a TV game, is of course your treble of you predict your match, you've got your corners market, and you've got your cards market as well. It's not a bet that you can have on every single game, but it's a bet that you can have on a lot of TV matches. And I certainly like to do it when I feel that a game is quite hard to predict, or when I struggle to find perhaps a little bit of value in the other bets. So, look, I've got reasoning behind this one, so I'll explain it. Now, the first one, I'm going to go with the draw. Remember, we've got to pick three things here. And I'm going to go with the draw just because I think Bradford unbeaten at home this season. They've got two nil-nils in there as well. And Barnsley have had a fair few draws. Of course, they drew 2-2 in the week to Oldham in the JPT as well. So I like the draw there. I'm going to go with over 12 corners. Now, in the last three games that both teams have played, these are the corner counts in the match. We've had 30, this is in Barnsley's matches, we've had 13 corners, 14 corners and 16 corners. In Bradford's last three matches, there have been 15 corners, 11 corners and 13 corners. Now on our options here, we've got below 10 corners, haven't we? We've got between 10 and 12 corners, and we've got 13 or more corners. I think I'm right in saying, yep, aren't I? Now, there's only one time out of those six matches, that I've just read out to you, one time have there been less than 12 corners. And on that basis, I'm going to go with the over 12 corners, of course. So we've got a draw, over 12 corners, and I'm going to go with under four cards. Now, my reasoning for that is that the referee, Andy Madley, he's just been brought in at the last minute because the other referee has had to pull out because of a family issue, I believe. Andy Madley has averaged so far this season in 10 games, he's averaged around 2.8 cards per game. So on that basis, I'm going to go with the under four cards. So your draw, your over 12 corners, and your under four cards gives you a nice healthy price of 14-1. And I think that just makes it a little bit, you know, gives you a little bit of interest, particularly if you're a neutral watching this game at the weekend. You know, you fancy like having a little bet, but you're not too sure where to go. I think a couple of pounds on that gives you a bit of interest in the game, doesn't it?
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, I like those bets. And you, just going back to that Sheffield United game last week. Oh, was it the Sheffield Wednesday game, I think it was, wasn't it? The Leeds match, you did that on In Play Radio and missed by one corner. It was it two corners?
40-1 shot, that
40-1 and missed by two corners. It was a great effort, that,
yeah,
was.
Yeah, I mean, it's a chance to have a bit of fun. As, yeah, I said, it's a little bit of a complicated bet, actually, but it's a chance to have a bit of fun. But actually, there can be, you know, occasionally a chance to win quite big on it without having to put too much money on it.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Very nice. I didn't ask you at the start, does your nap come in League One or League Two this week, Sam?
I'm going to go with Sheffield United, more goals in the second half, Lee, 8-5. I really like that one for obvious reasons. Sheffield United scoring so many goals in the second half, both home and away as well. I think they'll score goals this weekend, even with Michael Higden out the side. I think they've got, you know, the likes of Campbell Rice, McNulty and Jose Baxter as well. They have got goals in them. So, yeah, Sheffield United to score more goals in the second half than they would in the first half, 8-5. That's my nap.
Very good. Sam, thanks for your time.
Not a problem. Good luck to everyone that's having a bet this weekend.
Yeah, make sure you check out our League 2 version of the podcast. It's available at the72.co.uk. You'll see it on the right-hand side there. Just updates every week when the new podcasts are out. Also available at williamhill.com/podcasts. You can find it on William Hill's Audio Boom page as well. And if you subscribe via iTunes, then we'll do all the hard work and we'll record them, we'll upload them, and they get delivered straight to your phone, your tablet, or your PC. Thanks for listening to this one. If you're having a bet on anything, as Sam says, very best of luck.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.